Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And we're turning to Isaiah chapter 59, and we're reading from verse 1 of the chapter down to the end of the verse 16. And I would encourage you in your own home, wherever you are, to look up the Bible with us and read along. And indeed, as you read, pray that God would bless His Word to your heart this evening. Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, and neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 16. Our prayer is that God will bless this reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all of our hearts. Now, the text of Scripture I want you to look at with me this evening are the opening words of verse 1. Of Isaiah chapter 59, where it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." During my time at primary school, I can remember having to learn the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and also the Apostles' Creed. Now, it was good to learn these things, for they were to teach me many wonderful lessons and truths about God. The Apostle Creed, it begins with the statement, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth." And those words there really teach us that God is Almighty and that He is the great Creator of the heavens and the earth. And you and I, we are reminded of God's almighty power here in our text in Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse 1, when it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. This chapter tells us how the nation of ancient Israel were not delivered from calamity. And the reason for this was not because of any diminishing of God's power, but rather it was their own sin that had robbed them of God's favor and blessing. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the chapter again. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." In fact, later on in the chapter, the Lord goes on to show Israel that they could only be delivered from their enemies by his power and by the power of no one else. Look at what he says to them and about them in verse 16 of the chapter. The Lord again is speaking, and he says, and it says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." And again in verse 19, further mention is made of God's delivering power. When it says there, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Our text says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." And these words really prove that the Lord's power has not waned or diminished in any way. When we read about God's hand, we are talking there about the power of the Lord. Indeed, this is a truth that the Lord's people must ever keep before them. Indeed, the hymn writer could say, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation." And with those words, their heart was fixed upon the power of God. And child of God, as you go through this life, this is how it should be with you also. Keep the power of God before your heart, before your mind, and before your eye of faith. Therefore, for that particular reason, I want us tonight just to look at these words here in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, when it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." As we ponder these words together, there are three things that I want you to notice about God's almighty power. First of all, note the example of God's almighty power. You see, the Bible tells how the hand of God's power was used in creation. In Psalm 102 in the verse 25, there the Word of God says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." And there we read of God's handiwork in creation. The heavens and the earth were all made by God's power. You will notice there that there is no mention of evolution. There's no mention of evolution in the entire Bible. The world was not made by a big bang or by a big explosion. Understand this, that evolution is nonsense. Evolution is the false religion of those who wish to deny the very existence of God. Yes, evolution is a folly to be dismissed. It is a folly that every parent has a duty to protect their children from. Yes, the Bible makes it very clear that the hand of God's power alone was used in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the universe. But then the Bible also tells us how the hand of God's power is used in the redemption of God's people. In Isaiah 53 in the verse 1 it says there, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Their mention is made of the arm of the Lord, and that speaks of Christ in the context of that chapter. That chapter is all about Christ and his great work of redemption for sinners by his death upon the cross. You think of what is said in verse 5 of that chapter about Christ. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And believer in Christ, it's by the Lord's power and redemption through Christ that you've been saved, that your sins have all been forgiven, that you've been set on your way and on your journey to heaven. Yes, when you consider the wonder of your redemption, dear child of God, you see the mighty hand of God's power made bare. But then also we can say further that the hand of the Lord's power is involved in the sustaining of his people. In Job chapter 12 and verse 10, there it says of the Lord, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Believer in Christ, God's power has kept you alive to this very moment in time. Indeed, it's for this particular reason that you can say as a child of God that you are immortal until your work for God on earth is done. Also, we can say that God's hand of power is in the deliverance of his people. Think of what is said in Exodus chapter 13 and the verse 3. There it tells how it was by God's powerful hand that Israel were liberated from the bondage of Egypt. That verse says, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye come out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. The Lord delivered them by the mighty hand of his power. Child of God, the Lord's almighty power also has delivered you from every evil that is seen and unseen until this present hour. Also, we can say God's power is involved in the ordering of events that concern his people. Think of the testimony of David in Psalm 31, verse 15, when he speaks of the Lord and says, my times are in my hand. Christian, the hand of God's providence has been upon your life, guiding and directing your steps to this moment of time. Also, the hand of God's almighty power has been involved in the supply of your every need. In Psalm 104, in the verse 28, there the psalmist is speaking about the Lord's provision, and he says, to the Lord thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. Believer in Christ, in all these instances, indeed in many more, the Lord's power has not waned. What does our text say? It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Oh, see here, yes, the example of God's almighty power. But not only the example of God's almighty power, notice secondly the inspiration of God's almighty power. Look again at verse 1 of Isaiah 59 in its entirety. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. And the latter part there of that verse, it relates to prayer. When it says there of the Lord, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, this means that the Lord has not become dull of hearing. It means that the Lord has not become insensible to the needs of his people. Therefore, he is one who still hears and answers prayer. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse number 12. And look at this wonderful promise about prayer. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And the Lord is one who still hears and answers prayer, because his power has not waned or diminished in any way. He has not become insensible to the needs of his people. He has not one that has become dull of hearing to the cries of his children. Thus it was the consideration of God's almighty power that inspired Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to pray in a time of great crisis. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in the verse 12 of that chapter, there you read of his prayer. It was a time when a confederacy of enemies would come against the land, and What did Jehoshaphat do? He gathered the people together to pray. In verse 12 of that chapter, you read of his prayer, and this is what he prays. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And there he was in prayer at a time of need and national crisis, seeking the Lord. And what was it that stirred up the heart of the king, the heart of Jehoshaphat, to pray at this time? It was a realization of God's almighty power in his time of need. You go back to verse 6 of the same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. And there you see Jehoshaphat confessing his belief in the greatness of God's power. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And it was because of that realization of God's power and the greatness of his power, the fact that his power had not changed, that inspired Jehoshaphat to pray in his time of need and in the time of great crisis in the land and in the nation. Believer, keep your eyes upon God's power in this life. You too will be encouraged, indeed inspired to pray and to seek God's face in prayer in every time of need. Speaking about prayer, E.M. Bounds has said that prayer honors God. It acknowledges his being, it exalts his power, it adores his provision, it secures his aid. See there the value, the importance of prayer. In Colossians 4 verse 2 it says, continue in prayer. You and I are to continue steadfast in prayer. The Christian, is by you considering God's almighty power, that you will be stirred up to be constant in prayer in every time of need in your life. Christian, are you concerned about a loved one who is still unsaved? Then pray on for the conversion of that loved one to Christ. In Genesis 18, verse 14, it says there, is anything too hard for the Lord? Christian, are you facing some trial, some trying circumstance in your life at this present time? Then pray and ask the Lord to help you in your time of need. Think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 22 and verse 19. He says, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. In this time of great need, the psalmist was crying to the Lord for help. Believer, are you battling with some besetting sin in your life? Then pray. Ask the Lord to help you overcome that besetting sin. You think of the words of Christ to his disciples in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, when he told them to pray to the Lord and say, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christian, such is the Lord's almighty power that he is able to help you overcome the besetting sins of life. Also, child of God, when you think of the coronavirus pandemic, yes, you can pray and you can ask God for protection from it. You can pray for the healing of those who are ill with it. You can pray for the comfort of those who have been bereaved through it. Pray that God would give our government wisdom in dealing with it. Pray for a vaccine to be developed to combat it. Pray that even God in his mercy would stop the spread of it. Think of what is said about God's almighty power in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. It says there, none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou, Lord? There you see the almighty power of God. Child of God, think of the Lord's great promise regarding prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, it says there, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. My speaking of the Lord's power in our text, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Again, over in Psalm 89 and verse 13, the psalmist there addressing the Lord says, thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. There he was exalting the almighty power of God. Yes, we have the example of God's almighty power, the inspiration of God's almighty power. Notice one final thing. Notice the outcome of God's almighty power. You see, whenever God displays his almighty power in response to the prayers of his people, the outcome is one of victory. The outcome is one of blessing. In the case of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God intervened and defeated the enemies. In verse 22 of that chapter, it says of Israel, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were defeated by God. Another outcome also will be thanksgiving amongst God's people. This was the case whenever Israel came out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 15. In the verse 1 it says there, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yes, when God's almighty power is demonstrated in response to the prayers of his people, there's victory, there's blessing, there's thanksgiving. But another outcome will be a greater trust and dependence upon the Lord in future times. And again, this was the case with the Apostle Paul. Listen to his testimony of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 10. He speaks of the Lord. He says, who delivered us from so great a death. And there he speaks of past deliverance. And then he goes on in the same verse and says of the Lord, and he doth deliver. That speaks of present deliverance. And then he says this, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That speaks of future deliverance. In other words, Paul was confiding in the Lord for deliverance at future times. Why? Because he had seen God's power in answer to prayers, in his present needs, and in his past needs. And child of God, it will be the same with you also. Whenever you see God's power manifest in answer to your prayers, you'll know victory in the trials of life. You think of the victory of Dunkirk, whenever the British Expeditionary Force was rescued off the beaches there from the approaching German army. It was all linked to the prayers of God's people at that time. That's a fact of history. And it led to great victory for the forces at that time and for the British nation. Oh, that our nation again would know what it is to pray and to seek God's face. Yes, child of God, when you see God's power manifest in answer to your prayers, you'll know victory in the trials of life, but you'll also be filled with thanksgiving to God, and you'll be led to a deepening of your faith in the Lord. Well, this being the case, may you ever remember, dear child of God, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Oh, see here the almighty power of God. Keep that before you whenever you pray. Keep that before you in the trials and the battles of life. Your faith will be increased. Your heart will be filled with thanksgiving and praise. And you'll know victory in every time of need. Unsaved listener, let me say that in these words of Isaiah 59 and verse 1, there's a very important message here for you as well. And the message is this. It is that the Lord is still able to save you from your sins, whoever you are, whatever your sin is or your sin has been. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it speaks of the Lord and it says, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You come to the Lord for salvation and call upon him to save you, and the Lord will hear your cry. The Lord will save your soul. Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, in light of this wonderful promise, come now to Christ by faith. Depend upon his precious blood alone to cleanse away your sins. Ask him to save you. And praise God, the Lord will save you. The Lord will keep you unto life eternal. For he has lost none of his ancient power. Our text says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. May God bless his word this night to every heart, as he alone would see the need, for Jesus' sake and glory.